Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
And thank you, everyone. This is Andrew Fetter, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. And, God, this is just talking to my producer, Dunn, and, of course, there's Doug, the two twins. And memory lane here, because this is my anniversary show. It's been about 6 years, in fact, 6 years this week. I've been having my show, When Pigs Fly. Brings back light memory lanes. And how it all started, and I'll get into the premise of the whole show here, because I guess it is about cause and effect, isn't it? Cause and effect. It's first time I was doing the circuit when my first book came out, When the Angels Have Risen. For those who are not familiar, you can always check that out. When I wrote that back in 2000, it didn't get published to 2005, but a lot of the information there had sort of, I guess some people go, wow, you predicted this, you predicted that, and I didn't think of it at that time. Actually, when I wrote, it says talked about 9/11 before it happened, Iraq War before it happened, the revolts in Iran, and Tibet, and then, of course, now the second, the major recession we're having. A lot of things that are happening around even today. It's sort of funny where it is happening was in that my book. So do check it out. It's called When the Angels Have Risen. You can catch it. And let me just give you a pre-up of it. I was going to let you hear the other books of mine since I'm doing this one. It's about a gentleman named Jerry Fletcher, and he's sort of down to luck on his Angelina, who relocated to Las Vegas after a run-in with authorities in Los Angeles. After 1 year while living in Las Vegas, he decides to take a one-day hiking trip with some of his co-workers in a secluded canyon on the outskirts of Las Vegas. But he is mysteriously transported to an alien spaceship. There, he learns that much of the Judeo-Christian mythology was actually provided by the helping hand of alien angels. Fletcher is also explaining that there is an ongoing alien war between two factions for the control of Earth, and that this war has been going on for thousands of years on Earth. With this explanation pondering the confusing dilemma between what the prophets have said and what the past and present clerics have interpreted, Cleric is subsequently sent back to Earth to prophetically explain his new knowledge of our present politics and religion. The government gets wind of Fletcher's attempt to speak about the aliens, so when the government tries to stop his speech, a riot breaks out, which then quickly leads to a revolt by the American people against the current government of the President Halliburton and the Christian right. The revolt erupts into a civil war, and because of Fletcher's speech in Las Vegas, which was carried via the internet, uprisings and massive change suddenly take place in the global space of time. The Civil War of America becomes a war between the so-called blue and red states, with the government allied with the red and the blue supported by the liberators allied by the aliens. Of course, that book was wrote in 2000. That was when Bush was president. That's how that premise idea features it. And, of course, I wrote also The Heretic. Now, this book you can find on andrewfetter.com. You can go directly to andrewincognito.com, and that takes you straight, and you have it on the BBS radio on my thing there. And it takes you straight to all three books, also back to this my radio show here, and up things that I'm involved in, including music or movies. Another book I had written that was actually the pre-sequel to the When the Angels Have Risen. For those quite interested in into historical fiction, with a little twist, this is about after questioning his bizarre dreams and unexplained sudden knowledge of ancient Greek, Jerry Fletcher is regressed to his past lives. Under his regression, Jerry finally becomes aware that during Alexander the Great military campaigns, He was Aias, the historically unwritten hero. Aias was not only Alexander's untold mentor and great true friend, but was a noble for being a true maverick and inspiring military hero. Aias may have been mysteriously removed from Alexander's journal, but now the truth is finally revealed. From the bloody and gruesome military campaigns to the erotic rendezvous affairs, Aias is utilizing his unique style with his very mysterious sword with a compelling war on the battlefield, and along with his other very unique skills, he is quite infamous in the bedroom. Alexander the Great often compared Aias to both Ilias Hector and Achilles, but in one. Alexander the Great and Ptolemy simply thought that Aias was perhaps a god reincarnate from Olympus. Alexander simply called him an Ares incarnate. His enemy simply called him Aias the Decapitator, and of course Astarte called him the Heretic. And the women of Greece, they called him, well, I guess you'll just have to read the book to find that out. And of course my last book, my most recent book, it was called Spirit. And what is it about is basically, what if you could leave your physical body and astral project yourself? Then what would you think? What if you had somehow, some way, went out of your physical body to be finding yourself in somebody else's body? Then what would you think? What if the body you found yourself had just committed a crime and the crime was murder? Then what would you think? What if you told those around you that you're really somebody else? Then what would they think? What if you tried to explain to them how you left your body and for some reason you ended up in a killer's body? Then what would they think? What if you were tricked into another's body? Then what would you think? Randall Lender was a wanted man. He was wanted by the clergy of the major organized religions, the governments, and the New World Order. And that was the least of his problems. Randall Lender suddenly found himself in such a paradox where the surrealism meets dilemma within this phenomena of looking through the hourglass, when he unfortunately left his physical body, ending up into another's. This was his dilemma. This was his surrealism. And regrettably for Lender, this was the real quantum problem. He found himself on an unexpected journey with its twists and turns until he realized that he must die to live for his return. And how the elixir of questions remains is what, how, and why. And then you'll ask, why me? Why him, and what if? So, of course, all these, please do check those out. And you'll have the links to all of them from, if you go to Andrew Incognito, the inner link, so you can always go from there. They're posted on my website here on BBS Radio. This is how I actually started on BBS Radio 6 years ago. I was doing the circuit, running around to everybody. It was an amazing thing, you know, how you do the running around on radio shows, signing events. But I have to say that I was like, when I got here, I remember I was on being listened to by the producers on Julia Nightingale's show, Toward the Light. And then subsequently after that, they had asked me if I'd have my own show. And that's how that started. And of course, I was on Zany Mystic and couple others. Like I said, it was quite a ride, and look where, see what happens, the cause and effect. So for those who out there who are also writers or inspiring by different things, do not ever stop what you are doing. They lead to different things, and that's what it means by cause and effect as well. Anyway, I hope you understand, and also do check those books and think, feel free, and you can always contact me at flyingpigs@artlover.com. Now, there's a lot of material I'm going to go through, but I do have to make a special announcement because a lot of things are happening. I have a special announcement of an event coming up in February, so mark your calendar. It's about creating, and if you're in the Los Angeles or Ventura area, I'm going to be discussing the creating and manifesting the practice and Kabbalah with its, living meditation. Learn to manifest with a greater understanding of creating within the universe under the guiding hand of Kabbalistic perspective, the living meditation. So it will be done. I will have that at Soul Centered Shop, 311 North Montgomery Street, Ojai, California, 93023. And their telephone number is 805-640-8222. And you're probably going to go, when is it? February 23rd. That's a Saturday. And they're doing it from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Do come on out. It's manifesting, creating. If you're in the area, love to see you. The other thing I'm going to do, which is on the same facility, Soul Center Shop, 311 North Montgomery Street, Ojai, California, 93023. Again, their phone number is 805-640-8222. I will be on March 30th, on 2013, of course, that's another Saturday, at from 4:30 to 6 p.m. Again, that's 4:30 p.m., 6 p.m. So it's only going to be an hour and a half. So it's going to be a very tight, limited show. This will get pre-sold. They're all get pre-sold for people there. So I suggest for all these get pre-registered, especially this show, Merkava Astral Projection, the Kabbalist Experience, Learn Merkava Astral Projection, the concepts, and the practice within the universe under the guiding hand of the Kabbalist perspective. Again, that's at Soul Centered Shop, 311 North Montgomery Street, Ojai, California, 93023. And the telephone number is 805-640-822. And that was in March, right? Well, a few days later, I've been requested to come back again for WordFest. That's a fun time where all the authors go around Ojai. And I will be in Ojai on April 6th at the 2013. Again, that's on a Saturday from 12:30 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. That's the engagement from at 12:30 p.m. And it's at Soul Centered again, Shop 311 North Montgomery Street, Ojai, California, 93023. Telephone number is 805-640-8222. So do come on. And, of course, I'll be discussing the essence of Kabbalah. What is it really? You may have heard of it, but what is it really? Feel free to get into that. That will be a great show thing as well. I did that a year ago. It's a lot of fun. So, the cause and effect. As I slap my hands together, put my hands out there, it doesn't do anything. When I slap them, it creates effect, right? And then you just heard it, and then you react to it, right? In the Tao, you're probably seeing the little thing that looks like it's a circle, and it'll have like part black, part white, sort of semi-thing cut in the middle. People call that the yin and yang. It's actually part of the I Ching. And in Tao, there is the I Ching, which literally means change. And like I said, when you look at that, it literally is talking about the cause and effect, or yin and yang, and how they're and they are not a duality. They're which I'll explain. They're actually affect each other. Now, this same understanding is held within Kabbalism, but in Kabbalah, it's called the yud to the hey, or wisdom to understanding, or the chokhmah to bina, and they all interrelate. And everything's about cause and effect. Now, many, both illogical and play well, not being real, are often assume that we live in a duality, or utilize the word duality in our society, or with the physical presence, that dimension that we perceive ourselves in. But this is not the case, because in fact, duality is when things do not intersect or relate at all. But in fact, everything we do intersects and is highly, and we are in fact connected to all ourselves. In fact, all our dimensions are infinitely connected in all aspects. This is why I often use the word symbiotic or symbiosis in relationship. Even though it is a biological word, it is very much applies to the situation, how we are in cause-effect, how we interact with each other, and how we are definitely connected. In biology, it would be considered, here's the definition, symbiosis or symbiotic, a close, prolonged association between two or more different organisms of different species that may but does not necessarily benefit from each other. A relation of mutual benefit or dependence. So you see, it's sort of more symbiotic, how we are. If you can see that, you can see if we are, how indeed and how our relations are in deep association with all in our use, then you'll understand why it is so important to understand the cause and the effect, the what, the how, and the why. In the physical dimension, we have a cause and effect. Much as Einstein has said, for every action, there is a reaction. This is a premise that applies to all these aspects, even relationships within the spiritual beings that we are. In all dimensions, everything is cause and effect. Even when you think of nothingness, it is a cause and effect. So when you get to the place of nothingness, it doesn't reside. But that is only into a direction. You're heading into the place of nothingness. That's the direction. Okay. Now maybe I'm not being extremely clear when I'm explaining this. I think I was, but for some who might. Let me look at this. Look at our relationships with one another. This is, I'll explain first, because it relates between us as human beings. I'll get into others, how we, us and other living things and non-living things. And of course, our relationship within ourselves, which I will discuss first, because it all, from that point, relates to everything else. If you can't have a relationship with yourself, the cause and effect has a problem, doesn't it? So, think about it. Your thoughts are your action. Thus, the reaction, or the cause being the thought, the fact has just been the reaction. If you think of things, just the media, like right now I'm thinking, is causing a reaction. The minute you think of something, or even think, you have a minuscule thought. Even when the thought's a non-thought, it creates a reaction. A reaction in your body, in your mind, your emotions. It's actually generating energy. It's creating things out there. I was showing somebody the other day, and they were sort of like shocked they didn't get it, but others did. I was standing outside from this shop, and somebody walked out, and sort of had weird energy that day. It was like sort of feeling drained a little bit, and I was picking my energy up. But while I was doing it, I was on a manifesting mode, if you want to call it. And I walked out, and the streetlights were out there, and I was pushing out thoughts. And the light streets are going out. And this girl's like, wow, look what happened. All the street lights are going out. You know, the little street lights that hang, whatever. And they have these little light sensors. Well, what happens if you put out a thought, you're putting out that vibration? Well, the light has a sensor to say, hey, it's nighttime or daytime. Well, this is at night. And it assumed, because I was putting that light thing, it was shooting light, the little sensor thought it was daytime, so the light turned itself off. And obviously, you know, when it's dark, it does a reverse. So sometimes you can actually do reverse, too. So see, a cause or effect just by your thoughts. It just shows that thoughts are energy that, in fact, that's a fact that generate energy. It affects your body. We know that your DNA is affected through your chemistry in your body. We are nothing but electricity. We're nothing but energy. So thoughts are energy. They're all interrelated. So they're always a cause and effect. Now, I'm going to get into another aspect of the cause and effect, and this is a place where we think, where we use our senses. And it's often discussed, in fact, in premise of and within Buddhism, and Buddha discusses, when you use your senses, eyes, mouth, ears, touch, etc., Buddha would say these, in fact, cause desires. Well, he's right at this point. I agree with that. In reality, since we're nothing more than energy, but in these bodies we find the paradox of a symbiotic relation we do have with our own true self and alter ego self. Our true self is, some people call our higher self, the true soul place. And yet we develop an alter ego self, which is sort of like the cause and effect of the me-ism, our vanity, our desires, feeling good. So yes, so there is that part of desire. But these can lead to the effect of not having, thus the assuming of suffering as well. And this is where the karma situation is. This is where the Buddha thing comes into effect, where what he discussed. So when you have worry about clothes, material things, love, romantic based upon conditional desire, though this is where I think Buddha was incorrect, is not about that, but the issue of desire or not desire is thus a desire. So if you're saying, hey, I don't want to desire, then you just create a desire to not desire. Thus, it is illogical. See, the reason why is desiring, he should be more specified. Having desires for your alter ego is a whole different thing. Desire is pushing out your choice. Desire is literally is your will. We consistently create desire because we're creating will. Desire is your will. If I desire to move my hand up, I just desire to move up. If I desire to flip my finger off, I desire. If I decide to give you a kiss, it's a desire. I wanted to give you a kiss. Desire to drink a water, a desire to have water. If I desire to think something, I had created it. I willed it. I chose it. So desire is a given. You cannot, you'd be like a rock without desire, okay? You wouldn't move. You wouldn't be human. You wouldn't be a soul. Desire is your will. It's part of your essence to move because you are literally a verb. It's part of your choice. It's a point, but the issue here is desire of what? And that's where you have this symbiotic system that's going between yourself, between your alter ego self and your true self. See, since desire is our will, we choose. Thus, we chose. So now if the dichotomy comes with symbiotic relationship is the alter ego versus the higher true self. Alter ego choice will lower your frequency. True self will increase your frequency. This is the cause effect within you. So this is really important to understand, because if you think about it, then it'll relate to everything else, as I'm going to get into, in a more broader macro sense. First, I'm trying to get micro, because if you're fighting the two, the little angel and the little devil, that's sort of the same thing. That's what it sort of meant. It was like, you probably see the little angel and little devil. Well, that's more like, there's nothing really like that within you. It's just, it's more or less characterizing, making like cartoon-like, if you want to call it that. The alter ego is more like the little devil of you, and the angel is more of your higher self. And it is what it is. So think about it. When you want something or you desire something, is it better for yourself and help developing you, which would be like healing yourself or bringing effect of blessedness to the direction of your true self, or is it the opposite, toward the lowering direction opposite, maybe like lowering yourself by taking drugs or just doing to feed your ego, having the me-ism, all about me, or how I look, and this is not to judge, it's just what it is. We are here to simply experience, but we have at the same time the opportunity to grow and heal ourselves. This is what we have, and it doesn't matter who says it. All shamans or whatever from past thousands of years, we consistently said. They all say, well, we all are here like already we've been enlightened. In fact, that's true. First came here as enlightened beings, almost like Buddha effect. Yet, by our own ego desires, our altered ego desires, we became prey to our karma. This is how we create our karma. And this is what in Hebrew is also the tikkun, which literally means to fix. We are in our bodies simply, yes, to experience, but we're here to fix ourselves. And this is how we do that. And this is often explained, I do with some of my clients I speak to, a lot of people, and I explained what's called the karmic triangle, and I was fortunate that somebody gave me an example of this, and it was so easy. I go, oh, okay, this is easy to explain, because I thought of it, but it was a very easier explanation. So I call it the karmic triangle. What it is karma, whatever karma it is. And karma is a situation where you cause a cause, right? So you did something, cause, okay? And the karma is out of, when I'm talking about some karma, is out of your, talking about your, for your alter ego desire. And out of that, again, I said alter ego, you know, that cause and effect, what does that bring? It will bring out a suffering one way or another. If I had, even if it's a pretty flower and I get it, eventually the flower dies. It's still karma. So out of that egotistical desire, it brings in a suffering, and then the suffering brings in delusion, and then we go through the cycle. That's the karmic cycle based upon what? It's based upon our alter ego. Now, how do you reverse the karma? It's like rota-rooter, do opposite. What do? Is you do something of merit or meritous. Merit would be like giving something food or to a poor person, somebody starving, or giving something, you know, a merit, giving a thing. Let's say a village is living next to a lake and you give them a bunch of fish. That would be merit. And then there's, of course, meritous, which would be information. You go, hey, here's some fishing rods, but here's how you fish. So you're like educating how to fix themselves. So that would be meritous, which is like tenfold stronger, if you want to call it that. What does that do? It brings what? Blessing, right? It's a good thing. It brings blessing, which raises your frequency. The blessing raises your frequency. It's opposite. It doesn't bring you suffering. Suffering lowers your frequency. That brings your frequency up. And therefore, what do? Oh, you get to your frequency increases to a higher perception, and therefore you get closer to understanding, you're closer heading to the direction of your true self. As another one going opposite, which goes toward your alter ego self. So now you think of this, the cause of what you in every way do in your life, this is the life of a holy man. A holy man or woman, whether it be a Kabbalist, a Taoist, a Buddhist, or Sufi, or Shaman, or whatever spirituality, do the same exact things. One of these is that they once, in fact, one that had said to me, they're called it, I love the line of it, calling the living meditation. That is, realize the very cause and effect that you do. Even by one's own thoughts, reactions to the day-to-day activities, they're consistently conscious. If I do this, what would happen? If I do that, what will happen? I mean, the Buddhists will often say, hey, they even go to the extent of watching out where they walk. Oh my God, I might accidentally kill a bug. I kill a bug, what will that cause them karmically to? That is the cause and effect consciousness. This is very much what we have to be. It's not what we're just, what they are doing. It's the very state of consciousness that they are constantly thinking and being consistently and continuously aware of all their choices and actions. That's what I'm trying to get you to be aware of your choices and actions. If you're consistently aware that all things, and you start thinking, well, what I'll do this and do that, you start thinking of the awareness of actions, because we are literally nothing but energy causing actions out of choices, which are desires, which cause the reactions, and reaction causes new actions, and so on. This would be your ultimate goal within you. It's the cause and effect, is the reaction to each experience. This is where the karmic test that your code choice when you enter your body. My late teacher, Janae St. Clair, used to say, when you're born, you actually choose, before you're born, you actually choose your paths of your life. And what you do, imagine your life is a color pink by number kind of thing. And you have pretty much everything laid out. And then it's your reaction to it. Think about it. So it's a cause. You've already set out the layout of the plan. And then you meet up to the situation, which is the reaction. So you already created the cause and the effect, even before you enter the body. And each laid out plan experience, of course, is subjugated to, again, choices within your experience at the time, too. You created a reaction, and it's your reaction is what happens. And that reaction creates another cause and effect. So how do you react if you live in a very bad situation, have bad environment, negative experience with your mom or dad or family or loved ones, or your boyfriends, your girlfriends, or your bosses, employees? How do you react? How do you react to your neighbors? How do you react to your fellow man? How do you react? This is where cause and effect is the wheel of what we make it. That's why it's the gears within the gears. If two gears are two like wheels moving together. If you also hold anger toward someone or another situation or a greater people or whatever situation, this causes what creates the cause and the effect again. You haven't learned. So guess what? You're going to reap the karma experience again until you get it. That is what is this out there. It's like a mechanism. It's a machine. Sometimes we alternate our lives from lifetime to lifetime with assumption that we're separate, but in reality, we're not. We're not separated. You might be in one life, past lifetime, be the one you hated. This goes for people to people, white versus black, Catholics versus Protestants, Arabs versus Jews, and so on. Hindus and whatever, it doesn't matter. People are people, and you're in reality, you go from lifetime to lifetime, and everybody, you know, if you saw how we're nothing but energy, that we do carry our experiences from lifetime to lifetime, you're not always the same. If you realize that, then you realize, how can you hate the other person when you could have been that person last lifetime? It's ridiculous and absurd. This is where we have misinformation from Clarice to consistently look at us, creating this idea of illusion of finite. It's the illusion that we're separated. Illusion. This creates the cause and effect of negativity and negative karma. Because you, what do? You react with anger. This is why when you look at the cause and effect of organized religions and religions across the board, when they project any cleric who tells you to hate a person, they are themselves going backwards. They're lowering the frequency. They're not going to the true self, and that's part of God. The godliness is heading towards your true self. There is no way getting around it. It's even what Jesus and Buddha and, the Ari and Abu Lafia and even Rumi. I mean, they all say the same thing. All of them. The shamans, the Native Americans, same thing. Again, it's cause and effect. We're not separated. Someone even asked me about the Illuminati and how are they so keen into DNA and the families and bloodlines and such. And I started laughing. It was such a funny thing listening to the last lifetime. You know, they may have been a ditch digger or whatever, you know, a mechanic, a garbage picker upper, whatever you want to call it. And maybe this lifetime now they think they're Illuminati. You know, like last time they weren't. This time they're the king of England or queen of England or whatever. Last lifetime they weren't. That's the irony. That's the real reality. Someone asked me about politics and I laughed. I even said even in the Bible it tells in itself that cause and effect is caused by ourselves. Even the effect to the Pharaoh. What did Pharaoh do with the Israelites? It was out of cause and effect. He would get angry, change his mind, and it was him causing the plagues. In fact, there's a famous line. It's telling you right in the Bible that we are cause and effect. There's a line where he says, out of his own mouth he would cause his own plagues. This is what it was really showing, how out of his own mouth he created his own thing. This is what they mean by don't say God in his own in vain, because you're creating your own catastrophe, cause and effect. When the Pharaoh said, oh, I'm going to smite all the firstborn of the Israelites, what happened? His firstborn got smited. Get it? So it was out of his own mouth. In fact, it goes even further within the Bible in a lot of instances. I get into this and some people go, oh, well, you know, this is because you're Jewish or Israeli. No, it's just how it is. It's an example, and it really is. I laughed even in the Bible. It tells you, like I said, the cause and effects of many things. God didn't just do it. You did it. You caused it. Then it became the universe reacting to it. And a good example was Israel. Israel is a real example of the cause and effect today. How we treat Israel is how we will be treated. How Israel is treated is how God or the universe will react. Think about it. And it's very true. You watch how what the politics in Israel right now. This is so funny how, you know, it's just a teeny little country, teeny. They only have like what 6-7 million people. I mean, and yeah, look how much energy is poured into the UN against it and reacting toward it day to day. Look around the world. Look how many people. I mean, there might be five small circumstance happening in Israel, and people just react out of craziness. And then you see outside, they don't really care. Because Israel is an example of cause and effect. And it's how you treat Israel, and then how that is Israel's treated is how the universe reacts back to you. So if you act negatively towards Israel, guess what the universe does to you? It reacts back negatively. So you have to think about it. That's why it's Israel in the Bible. It's consistently even in Zohar called the litmus of humanity. It's also called the Shoshana. I mean, think about during even the reign of Solomon. It was the only time during the reign of Solomon, King Solomon, the wise man, he never fought a battle. But you look how much territory he had controlled underneath him. But the entire world was at peace at his time. Think about why. Israel is our own litmus of ourselves. I mean, I have often looked at the Middle East, and you can even see in our broader scale, it is the epitome of everything that is wrong within humanity, only magnified. Look how women are treated in the Middle East. Again, look out free thought. Look at the greed, the power, my way or the highway with religions. Us versus them mentality, sexuality, gays, the environment, teaching children to hate, blaming others for their own choices, lack of taking responsibility for one's own choices, cause and effect. Again, all this cause and effect. Then there's the implementation of fear consistently. They're going to get you. They hate you. I'm going to get you. I'm going to hate you. Lastly, the most important, looking at everyone else and everything as if we're separated, as if God is separated, the universe is separated, you're separated. This thought pattern creates a cause and effect of what? Like our cancer, a negative, a cause and effect. We're consistently doing things out of alter ego, negative. Look at our situations within here in the United States. We live in a consistent state of fear, anxiety, cause and effect. And one wonders why there's unwanted stress, stress-related illnesses, fear. Look at the news. Then they give you a drug. Then they tell you this. Oh, my God, eat this. It's going to cause this. Oh, my God, there's a disease. Oh, my God, there's a flu epidemic. Oh, my God, there's guns. Oh, my God, there's something financially collapsed. Oh, my God, are you going to have a job? Get it? This anxiety, the perpetuation of thought, negative thought causes a cause and react. It's a your reaction is negative because that is a lower vibration. Blame them. It's the other guy. Look at the other media creating the cause. They do, but who's part of the media? Us. Cause and effect. These cause and effects can be looked at even as simplistically as checkers and then broader scale even chess. So you have to look at all these things. Look how they all affect us in different ways, different associations. We often don't look at things until we react to the reaction of them. I mean, look at what happened. People get over arms and gun control and this, and they basically react. 9/11, react. Knee-jerk, react. And then there's fear. Everything's out of manipulation and all that. And it's pure bunk. You know, this is what I'm saying. It's all of reactions. So you have to look at everything in all your life, all around you, politics, things. Be conscious of cause and effect. Be aware. If you do that, then you start getting into what is more of a spiritual path of heading toward increasing your frequency. I mean, no one here walks on water. No one is absolutely perfect. That's why we go and we sit back and analyze. Wait, what did I just do? Oh, it's going to cause an effect. What if I meet an employer who's a total putz and he's screaming at me and stuff? What is my reaction? I mean, I do this day-to-day giving readings and advice to people, and I tell you, it's like I feel like I'm saying the same thing over and over in different ways, but pretty much the same thing over and over. It sort of gets repetitious, to tell you the truth, because I realize the fundamental problem, what people, we all do, and we're not becoming aware of our relationships, even with the people we meet, encounter, our loved ones, hate ones. I'm fighting with my mother, I'm fighting with my sister, where there's a reaction to it. Cause and effect. If you hold, and there's people who, let's say, you have a past relationship, and you, what's that person thinking about now? I hope he's bad. I have a past lover, past girlfriend, past boyfriend, past friend. And they hold this anger. And when they say that you got to release the anger, you got to let go. Why is that go? Because now what are you doing? That creates, still keeps that karmic attachment. It keeps that thing still there. It keeps you lower down, lower down. In Hebrew, it's called sin. You know what sin is? People don't even know what sin is. Sin comes from the word chet. Chet literally means wrong way. Nothing bad or good. You're going the wrong way. So you look at yourself. And I've said this in past shows. I said, we are nothing but energy with a frequency that vibrates. You have a special quality, a unique, like snowflake, a thing from all your experiences, unique to yourself. You're like a string on a guitar. So imagine you pluck it. It has a particular vibration. That's you. You're a vibration, force, energy, vibrating. So the faster it vibrates, moves you up a scale, the octave, right? So the whole point is you to increase your frequency. Now what happens when you increase your frequency? Your perception increases. You see even more things. You understand more things. When you lower your frequency, you understand less. It's really simple. Don't have to write a million 40-page books, have films about it, have major speeches or lectures. Real simple. Your energy. You vibrate. Three sentences, done. Look at that, done. Then you realize what we are. This is not just, this is like you can call spiritual physics. Jake's made up something. Spiritual physics. It is so simple, but people tend to make things more complicated. Maybe to make more money on books, I don't know. But it were. We're just nothing but energy. And we take with us all these attachments. If you were to go out of body, you see it. That's what some people call Akashic records. You see the attachments. You have energy all around you. That's your aura, your connections. You have energy. Your body is nothing but energy, physiologically and spiritually. So I'm going to take something, speaking of cause and effect. It comes from a passage within my last book called Spirit. And right now, we're right now in the adaption of it into a screenplay. Hopefully, it will be hitting in the near future onto a screen. But right now, we're very much into pre-production or pre-production. but this is a speech that, and I've played it once before, but I feel it applies here once again. So I'm literally going to read it off to you. I'm going to change back the words because in the words of the book, it was about other people, and I think it's best to apply for who they are when I do discuss certain things, because I sort of switch words, sort of rhyme of people, and it was sort of indirecting, but this is what it says. And they shall turn their tongues of hate, ignorance, and fear into plowshares. There is the path of darkness, where hate is the absolute, and there is the path of light, where love is the absolute. And then there is choice. I ask you, what is yours? But what is the dark path and what is the path of light? There is no gray when you head toward one path or the other. I look toward the sun and what do I see? Light. Hence the opposite. Obviously the other. What ultimately are these paths? Light is love, while dark is hate. It's that plain, that simple. Yet, there are those like the Ikes and the Rentses who will preach their lies and ignorance and hate and so on to others to embrace their path of dark. There are also those who say that they are enlightened, but unfortunately, they too embraced also these same hate mongers in a complicity of promoting hate by having these individuals on their shows and websites who, by their own choosing of this complicity, have walked toward the dark, lowering their frequencies. And just they too, with certainty, will not be spared from their own karma. They are as innocent as the O'Reillys, the Hannitys, and the Rush Limbaughs, and other Fox News, who have continued their lies and hate speeches, but only from a different corner. The dark path is the epitome for those who embrace hate, fear, guilt, and division, without taking responsibility for their own choices, or playing poor me when they started the fight, and then crying for sympathy over their own choices and or their actions. Dark is teaching your children to hate, preaching violence, preaching in the name of God to hate your fellow man and woman. Dark is to apologize for the teacher of hate, the insider or implementer of hate. Love, on the other hand, love is the path of light. Unity for our commonality while respecting the uniqueness of our individuality. This is the path of light. Having compassion and mutual respect is the path toward light. Light is the path of teaching and preaching love, especially to the new embodiments, the children. Light is the path of healing for not only the individual, but for all nations, all mankind. All humanity is as one conscious, for we are in fact all one. So I say to those who call themselves of peace, but then embrace or apologize for those who hate or division. Why not? Why? You are not of love. You are not of peace. You spill the embodiment of hate. And to those who preach hate, why do you preach hate and lies and division instead of love and mutual respect? Their names are called Amnesty International. Or they have names within them, Human Rights or Solidarity for Peace, or call them of justice. But this in reality is a lie, a putrid, vile lie of the world peace. They are a name only because the universe and those who walk the path of light know full well and are aware of their true path of darkness, which preaches with the bias of publication of hate among mankind. They are not of peace or of love for humanity. Their wicked tongues lie of bias and hate while calling the truth for their own political incentives. For the very foundation of peace and harmony for all humanity is one thing, simply love. And love and respect must be taught to the children or they will be sucked into the path of darkness, of despair, culminating in their sentence of their own death and violence, all for a land or religion which is the very illusion of mankind. For no one is really beholden to land, for we are all of land. We are all from Adama, we are all of Adam. Man is from earth, from land, of land. So I say to those preachers of hate, lies, and deceit, you are the very tool of manipulation, though you ride under the hooks, under the name of human rights or peace in the name only. You are the ultimate lie, and the universe is aware. And the light will illuminate with the universe spotlight your lies and hate in the coming days of ascension. There will be those who will lie about Jews, Zionists, Freemasons, Buddhists, others, will deafen the cries of Tibet, placing their heads in the Sudan while children are slaughtered in the Sudan. The dark is your path. The Bilderbergs are your true masters, your real masters, as you follow their manipulation for their own dark endeavors. There are those who think we are all fools, but the light displays your shadows of lies and deceit and hate. There are those who follow the path of dark, some under the obscurity of manipulation or hate, and to apologize for the haters. But your existence is being made. Your path is being uncloaked. Your lies and deceit will become as apparent as rain brushing on one's face. Light is engulfing the earth. Truth is unfolding like sand settling in a glass of muddied waters. Paths are simply of choice. Walking the path of light means healing, loving, respecting, tolerance, compassion, thirst for understanding, and the endeavor for exploration of the wisdom within our universe. These are the directions toward light. So I say no more of the hate, because that will surely be the path of capitulate. There will be those who call themselves left wing or right wing, but in reality, you're just all chicken wing. There are those out there, and they know who they are, who will add to the plight of mankind to continue the lies with the theme of hate only, and perpetuate the mindset of a prison planet. You are on all sides. You are the very problem of this embracing blame game, because it's the same lame game. What would happen if love were taught to children? What would happen if respect and compassion were taught to children? What would happen to those, including some hosts on internet radio shows and sites and television, who align themselves with the spewing of hate and lies and division by the likes of the Ikes and the Rinses and so on, if they realize they are only pawns of the dark, so they could sell more books and more tapes, only expand their methodical dispersion of lies and hate, the disinformation, the Bilderberg disinformation? What would happen if instead they aligned themselves with the likes of words like Deepak Chopra or Dalai Lama or enlightened beings? Now, wouldn't that be a switch? Wouldn't that be spreading the message of love instead of lies and hate? Wouldn't it be easier to follow this path, the path of love, the path of light? What would happen if those who preach the conspiracy of hate are the very ones who are walking the dark side only to perpetuate the lies and hate and division of the dark? For what they really want is their true desire, greed at the expense of their fellow man. What if I say to you, if the ascension will shake out of the lies of these wicked tongues of the dark and bring forth the love and compassion of humanity, what would happen to those walking the dark path if they had no more books to sell, no more websites to post, no more lectures or radio shows? What would happen if you reached into your hearts and heard the very truth of humanity, and realize we are all of the same? We can choose the path of light or be swallowed by the unfortunate results of the dark. What would happen? What if I say there is a choice of the heart and mind, and you could choose love or hate? What then would you choose? What if I say that choice is really as simply as common sense? What if I say you could believe in yourself with self-worth and self-love while unconditionally loving and respecting all that is around you? What if I told you it is as easy as holding your child, kissing your lover, enjoying a sunset, smelling a flower, drinking water, breathing the very air that surrounds us, and listening to raindrops as they fall? What if it were that easy? Wouldn't you choose love over hate? What would happen if you no longer posted a lie or marched in the goose step of hate? What would happen if the blogs and the news had no more conflicts to write their opinions of? Would the journalists, the bloggers, the newscasters be out of jobs? What if they stopped preaching that my God is better than your God, or my law is the only law, or if you do not believe in him, you are not worthy, or you are a woman, or are less than men, or submit to our way or die, or it's my way or the highway? Would they now be out of jobs? What if I say if the ascension were here and the choice is yours? What if I said that to fear change and growth and love is the practice of dark, which has manifested in the ways you and your children and your grandchildren have been taught? What if I said that the fear and hate you have been taught can be changed? What if love and mutual respect could be our embracement instead of the effigies of lies, deceit, fear, guilt, and hate? What if love and compassion were as common as water? What if the division of land, of people, governments, organized religion were no more? What would happen if the beings from other far-reaching galaxies who have been observing us said we're now no longer pawns of the dark. What then would be the encounter? What would happen if there were no more left, no more right, no more liberals, no more conservatives, but just the individuality that was respected mutually, and that there was a true embodiment of humanity that walked the very steps toward love? What if Fox News told real news and didn't spill its commentary? What if the likes of people like Rachel Maddow or Oberman only had good things on their countdowns and said no more on its worst list? What if CNN said they are confirmed that there are ETs and aliens who have been here and are visiting our planet? Sorry, we didn't tell you. What if President Obama said, here is the full, complete, truthful disclosure of UFOs and ETs from our government, and that there always have been ETs, and we've had our encounters, and we're sorry that our government held back the truth? What if? What if the CNN disclosed the true nature of the Bilderbergs and the Federal Reserve and the other elitist organizations, such as trilateral commissions and the CIA and the Foreign Council of Foreign Affairs? What if energy were free? What if I told you that energy was actually free, but those of the dark want you to believe in the effigies of lies and deceit? What if I told you you died and you came back only to receive what you have already manifested? What if I told you there is no fear in love, no fear in mutual respect? What if I told you that you had the choice? What if I told you that you can teach your children to love and respect? What if I told you that you could change your path of darkness and embrace the path of light by simply walking with love? What if hate was not your fate? What if those who preach, write, paint, sing, march, practice other expressions of thought, taught, and preach love? What would happen if they took their tongues and made them into plowshares? What if I told you the ascension is here and magnifying to ever-expanding form, and there will be those who still choose to continue their dark ways of hate and division, and these same people will be overwhelmed by the coming events. But there will be those who choose the path of light, embrace the upcoming changes with the wings of Raphael. There will be those who choose the endeavor of truth, wisdom, and healing. These choices of light will be in the cobblestone of the very path the inhabitants of Earth will walk. It is the ascension. It is founded upon the vibration of unconditional love and respect. And ultimate reward. The ultimate reward is you. I say love shall overcome, as they shall make plowshares out of their tongues. For the ascension is here, and the rest is so trivial. Love is the only reason you are in your embodiment. So learn to love, because that is the path of ascension. And let it be known that they shall turn their tongues of hate, ignorance, and fear into plowshares. That was sort of from Spirit. So I know that was a long spiel, but I hope you get the gist of that. So think about it, cause and effect. In the spiritual essence now, we manifest, we create, we cause. Thus we are the effect. We are the means, you, the individual, you as us, you as you. We are all connected and not separated, just we contemplate. I want you to contemplate your thoughts, your life, those immediately around you, the place you live, the place you work, who's around you and who has come. You are as an individual. Think about it. You are cause and effect. You are simply energy. There's a utilize system of understanding. It's understood within Tao and Kabbalism, and it's related to what I need to add this on and explain this. It's called the past, the present, and the future. I often do like a little circle kind of thing, but if you look at it, there's a past, present, and future. And what we need to do in our present form is learn from the past. We have a direction in the future, and we live within the moment. Keep these all equal. Do not live and blame things. Oh my God, what happened in the past? Do not go on expectations and worrying and of the future. That's your direction. Don't have fear of anxiety or the future. And be in the moment of things, the bridge. If you keep these all equal, it'll be all fine. You'll actually increase your frequency. If you keep these all level, you will steadily be healing. That would be like the living meditation. You will, without even meditating. Of course, you can allow yourself to leave all these negative thoughts by meditation, through other ways and mythologies. But you need, as my late teacher, Janae Sinclair, would have said, thoughts are things and you need to change your tapes. These are the core of changing you, changing humanity. This is the crux of cause and effect, you. We are all simply energy. So there will always be some form of cause and effect. We are indeed infinite, but we are verbs. We are action. Thus, we are the cause and effect. So think about it. With that, I will close on something I wrote. Thought you guys might like it. I'm going to be posting, put this in a future book of mine that I've been, God's sake, forever writing. It's not even that long. It's basically the first time I'll do a nonfiction, but may finally come out sometime next year. But this is what I will call, it's called, I Am Just Being the Alien Child. I am just the alien child, just feeling the soul of mankind. I am just a reflection of my eyes, looking toward the wisdom in the heart. I am just the soul in the vessel of matter, feeling the adventure of all that I endeavor. I am just the music of my ear, as the wind stretches my soul near. I am just the energy of today and tomorrow, including the other day. I am just who I was, that which I will be, that which I am, and that is you and me. I am not just the walrus, I am not the clown, but the tiger with no frown. I am just the sky of deep blue, with thoughts like birds that flew. I am just a drop of mud in the pond, like many bubbles beyond. I am just the grass stain on the kneecap, like roots embedded from the top. I am just the oil, the water, the stroke, and the emphasis, simply an expression, sculpting and brushing of the canvas. I am my heart, I am my throat, I am my tongue, I am my lips, standing and sitting and pacing within. With a walk within the midst of the run, all with the spanning of time. I am connected, I am part, I am the whole. There will always be us in part and whole. I live to breathe, I breathe to live. I live to see, I see to live. I live to hear, I hear to live. I live to feel, I feel to live. The alien that I am, the child that I will be, here to simply experience with love, healing, wisdom, hence it is me. So I hope you enjoyed that. I will actually be closing on a cool song I think you'll like. Turn, turn, turn. I wish you all a glorious, glorious weekend. The show will repeat next week as I will be in a morning move. So those who have missed any parts, do feel free to listen in or any of the past archives, and do check out my latest books from Spirit or Heretic or When the Angels Have Risen. And do, if you're out in the LA area, Ventura County, the next 3 months, do come down and see me. I'll be doing special events, as I said earlier. God bless you all, and have a glorious, glorious weekend. And again, birds, turn, turn, turn.
Turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn. to everything turn. There is a season turn, and a time to every purpose. A time of love, a time of hate, a time of war, a time of peace, a time. Not too late.